This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest, Christy Wood-Giles. She's going to be talking about how to live your best life in the most instinctive way possible, bringing in health, fitness, nutrition, emotional healing, energy, and vitality. Christy worked in park management and was also a fitness instructor. She played many competitive sports, and she even did triathlons. She went hiking once and was bitten by many, many ticks. And unfortunately, the medical system didn't catch right away that she had Lyme disease. So she's going to tell us about her experience and how she encourages people to speak up for themselves and to get themselves healthy. Welcome to the show, Christy. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. This is a pleasure.
It's my pleasure entirely. So tell us a little bit about the serious illness you had and how it led you to do what you do now, becoming a natural health, fitness, and life coach.
Well, as you mentioned, I was doing a bit of fitness training on the side, and my focus at the time because of my career in park management was getting people healthy and in the outdoors and really seeing the benefits of nature. So, natural health was sort of my focus for my master's and my background. But really, as I went through the challenge of getting sick and, I was training for a triathlon at the time, and went through a 3-year period where basically I just continued to decline no matter what methods I encompassed that, sort of seemed to be the tried and true ones at the time. I was just getting sicker and sicker. No one could really figure out what was going on. I was getting lots of testing, going to lots of specialists. And at the end of the day, it basically came down to me consulting doctors outside of the country, doing research, and basically getting to the right people, the right medical professionals to get me a diagnosis of which turned out to be Lyme disease. And so it was a bit of a journey coming back and learning much more, that there is much more to our natural health and fitness than we realize. One of those being, it's okay to stand up for yourself when you're really sick and nobody is listening or believes you.
Yes.
And well beyond, just investigating all these emotional healing, alternative healing, as well as, medical support. But that at the end of the day, we're the ones that we really need to have tried and true and taking care of ourselves and supporting ourselves, even in the sense of self-care and self-love. And so I really feel it's important to be able to put all these pieces together to share with people because healing is so multidimensional,
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we have to listen to our bodies and trust ourselves. You talked about standing up for yourself. We have to trust ourselves. Even if we're talking to a medical professional or whatever kind of professional, it's important to, because sometimes we know things. We know what our body is like. We know things about ourselves. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
It's so true because I on post-reflection of the whole situation, I thought to myself, how did I go 3 years with people convincing me, everything from one, I was an endurance athlete, so I was hypersensitive, to it was just stress, or I was a, hypochondriac, or even I remember one cardiologist when they had admitted me with the signs of a heart attack, and it wasn't me saying that those were the signs, it was them, and he said, "You're literally the healthiest person that's ever walked into my office." I was so ashamed and so embarrassed that I said, I will not go to another specialist. I have to figure this out myself but at the end of the day, I was like, how is it possible that I was so disconnected from myself that I let them convince me there was nothing wrong with me for parts of that? And I swore if there was anything I would do for myself every day from now on would be to check in with myself to see how I was truly doing Only I can tell myself what that really is.
That's so true. That's so true. People can't tell you how you feel, or, you know, that for some reason I'm getting the memory of my mom making me wear a sweater or making me bundle up more when it was cold. And I wasn't a tiny little child, but I was a child, and I'm thinking, but I'm not cold. No, but it is too cold. And so it's almost like from childhood, we're not taught to listen to our own instincts, our own body. We're kind of a lot of times forced to do what those who know best, right? Those who know best for us and for our bodies. It's not really good. It's not very wise.
It's so true. I think it's funny you said that story, because it sort of makes me, sometimes I had this feeling like I wanted to stomp my feet and say, but there's something wrong with me.
Right. If there was something wrong with you. I mean, I just still don't understand how it was that if you knew you had been bitten by ticks and you, of course, had told them, did it not show up? Did it not show up on testing? How could that have gone so long without being discovered?
A little bit in their defense is, I take responsibility for some of it. I tend to push myself past limits. And so the hike was really wet and strenuous, and I ended up with, my feet were in really bad shape, and I had rashes. And I think at the end of the day, there's really sort of a belief that typically they see these acute versions of Lyme, which are treated, you know, fast and with shorter antibiotics. And sometimes, it becomes chronic, or it isn't treated properly and becomes chronic, or it sort of lessens for a bit and resurfaces. So it's kind of this illness that really has differing opinions on how to treat it, differing opinions of how it really manifests itself. And so there's a lot of confusion out there on, you know, what it is. And one, there's a lot of disagreement on what it is and how to treat it. And I think I just got caught up in that world where I think, because I was also so sick right away, they thought for sure it was something else. But then you also come across as a really healthy person. So the belief that you're struggling as much as you are doesn't really jive, you know? And I have to say, there was probably sometimes I really just did not insist or stand up for myself and say there's something seriously wrong here.
But I know that even, because I've experienced this, sometimes even if you do stand up for yourself, they won't listen anyway. You know, you have to find help elsewhere, which is what you did, which is brilliant. And I'm so glad that you were able to find that help. But it's unfortunate that it took you so long and you had to suffer so long. What caused you to just keep going and looking for the help and not give up? What was inside of you that just pushed you? I mean, doing research is a lot of work, you know, and then there's conflicting information and all that.
Yeah. So not giving up, I'd say I probably almost did a couple of times. First, I'm very blessed by amazing friends and family. I always say I have friends that are family and family that are friends. Aww. And I think they all know that, like, I sometimes encourage them to never give up and always, you know, push themselves out of the box and go do adventurous things. And so they would then remind me that that was, you know, that's my job too. I can't preach it and not do it. So I did feel this obligation to them, and they did so much to support me and help me and just really truly believed me, you know, that there was something wrong. So I did feel some ownership to them. But, you know, I guess I wouldn't be being honest if I didn't say there were not a couple of really dark days where I was pretty much planning on giving up. And I think, you know, it's kind of interesting because when I teach or used to teach running, I used to have this saying, and I would say, never make a decision on an uphill as to whether you're going to keep running or not, and never make a commitment on a downhill, because when it's easy, you'll promise everything.
Right.
And so I think I just really applied that. And so I remember these two really tough periods where, you know, I just felt like a burden, right? Everybody was I was offering nothing to my family and what was going on even in our daily lives. And you just thought there's no purpose. If I can't some days even get out of bed to make my own meal, like, how is that existing? And I, at those times, would just promise myself that if I was in this situation in another month, because I guess maybe it's the benefit to me of Lyme, it goes through cycles. You know, you think you're recovering and then you have a setback and then you do really well and then you plateau. And so I said, if I'm still here in a month, I can entertain this idea of giving up. And, you know, it would pass. And I think that's really not making a decision on a hill, you know, is that this could pass and you could have considered something that just wasn't what was in your best interest in the moment, because the moment seems overwhelming and too much to handle. And so, you know, and then even when I was getting better, I would get discouraged because it would be like on the downhill where, you know, things seemed good and I was thinking I was all back and I would get back to running and then it would all fall apart. And so, you know, I just kind of had to ride it, but mostly I had to learn how to really take care of myself, even when I didn't want to. You know, I had to listen to myself and listen to when not to push yourself and when to support yourself and kind of ride out those, you know, hills both ways. And so I'm happy to say I got out of those really dark times, but it was just simply the fact that I told myself I could reconsider if I let this period pass, and I'm very lucky that that period passed.
You know, when you were talking about not pushing yourself at times and really listening to yourself, did you find that after this experience, you have more balance? Do you find that maybe you were pushing yourself way too hard before this experience?
Yeah, that's hard to admit, but 100% yes. And to be honest, I don't know that you ever just get to that point of balance and stay there. I think it's a constant effort to keep yourself in balance, and we fluctuate, you know, back and forth. I would say it was probably my biggest lesson in all of this, and I would probably say that it took the majority of the decade to even really succumb to that, you know, looking after myself does include, you know, resting and doing nothing even when you don't want to, but your body's telling you to. And, you know, being lazy and going to bed when you know you could maybe just push through a little bit more. I guess the value and the lesson of this is when I did that, I would pay for days, maybe weeks. So I was forced to learn that lesson. And even when I kind of started to come out of it, I was shocked at how many times I would resort to my old ways and, you know, just the push through mentality. I think as a society, we have that. It's not okay for us to stop and take care of ourselves. We're meant to push through. And if we do feel good, we're meant to do more, we think.
Yeah.
And we don't have that rejuvenation time in us that we think it's selfish. But, you know, if it preserves, I always say I almost lost 10 years of my life. So those 5 minutes of sitting down with yourself or, you know, the 20-minute nap seem pretty minor now than spending 10 years trying to get back to who you were.
That's for sure. It's funny that terminology you use, being lazy and going to bed, because that's how we were raised. You, like you say, society calls you lazy if you're not doing something every minute of the day. Instead, we can change that to being kind to yourself and going to bed early. So if we take lazy out of the equation, there goes the guilt, there goes all that stops us from taking care of ourselves, you know. So
it's so true, yes. We really have a connotation with the word lazy.
Yeah, we do. And we call ourselves lazy because other people have called us lazy, or we've seen other people being called lazy from someone else because they were taking care of themselves. And that's something very important. I love that you teach that. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call and ask Christy a question, the lines are open. You can dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Wondering about your love life? Want to know how your pet is doing since crossing the Rainbow Bridge? Getting ready to start something important in your life? psychic medium Cheryl Murphy has helped people make important life decisions for over 20 years. She can bridge the connection to your spiritual guides and put you in touch with your loved ones. Learn more or book a session today at mediumcheryl.com and join her free weekly healing prayer circle. Visit mediumcheryl.com today.
Cowboy Wisdom Hypnoacuity is wisdom energizing, fun opening personal expansion. Expands you out of yesterday, energizing today. Enterprising your dreams to experience your now connected desired life. Robert A. Wilson.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Christy Wood-Giles. She's been talking about how do you live your best life in the most instinctive way possible. So, Christy, what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public today?
Mostly, I think it's, well, one, not giving up, but I also think you have to believe in a better life and a better future and better health for yourself. So it doesn't really matter what it is you're sort of dreaming of or wishing. And I think a lot of times we actually stuff those desires so deep inside because we don't want to strive for them because it hurts when we fail. You know, it hurts when we don't think we're going to get there and we lose hope. And so I really want people to come back to believing that the impossible is possible. And if it is better health or better prosperity or just a better life, that it is possible, because if we don't put that desire in front of us, then we also miss the opportunities that present themselves to lead us there. And I think the biggest part that holds us back from that is our beliefs, because a lot of people would say to me, well, chronic Lyme is incurable. You'll always be stuck with it. And I really waffled for a long time. I would make some progress and think, oh, is this it? And then I would make a little more progress, and then I was like, well, could I dream of running again? And then you'd sort of say to yourself, oh, put that away. You know, that's why you've gained enough health. You know, just be happy with this. And you would think to yourself, well, don't imagine that, because you'll just get disappointed. And then I eventually got to the point where I thought, you know, I'd really just like to do a triathlon again. And I literally said to myself, oh, that would be a horrible thing to imagine, because you will never get there. And I sat down one day, and it was the sort of turning point where I said, you know what, if I spent the rest of my life working towards this, would I enjoy it? If I left this earth and never did a triathlon, would I still be happy that I kept trying? And I was. And so I just thought, you know, those are the things you love. So if I just ran 100 meters every once in a while, I would still be doing it. So why not do it? Why eliminate all those possibilities from our lives? And I'm now presently training for a half 70.3-mile Ironman triathlon. And it's because I didn't give up. But also because and don't get me wrong, it's not a straight road of not giving up. It's a bit of a roller coaster and cycle. As long as every time you doubt yourself and you know, you believe what else is going on out there, you know, you kind of go through this cycle. And as long as you keep bringing yourself back to, but why not try? It's funny how you get presented with these answers or these opportunities or people that can guide you, and it's almost like you look back and go, I can't believe I'm getting there. What happened? How did it happen? But we have to make the choice to not give up.
I love that. I love that, making the choice to not give up. And what you said before, stop dreaming. Because when you do begin to dream and you do begin to focus on it, that's when the opportunities begin to come, like you said. That's such a beautiful message, Christy. Thank you. So let's talk about your book for a little bit. It's called 2-Week Window, Living with Lyme and Thriving in Life. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write it and what the reader can expect.
Well, a lot of people were kind of asking me what happened. I think, you know, people who did know me, they were like, well, how do you end up this sick when you were so focused on, you know, health and fitness? Mm-hmm. And so some of it was really me getting my head wrapped around what did happen. You know, how did this go wrong? Right. I found it very healing in the sense that it just sort of organized my thoughts and gave me a chance to reflect on what did go wrong and what I would do different. And as I was finishing the book, I always say too, sometimes I don't even remember writing some of it because memory is a huge challenge for people. And although I was writing it in recovery, you're still battling a lot of the symptoms. And so I sometimes don't even know how it really wrote itself, but it seems that it came together. And mm. I was still going through setbacks and, you know, less intense relapses as I was finishing it. But I had just decided that I wanted to find the way to thrive despite all that. And if I could do that, then everybody could, right? It doesn't mean everything has to be perfect. It doesn't mean that, you know, you need to be the strongest or the healthiest or, you know, the most vibrant. But at the end of the day, if you can get up and choose to thrive despite all that's going on and focus on what is working and focus on your dreams at the same time, mm-hmm. then you have the opportunity to thrive. And so I thought if I could put that out there in a way that would explain to people what happened, what I learned from it, so that maybe they could gather some pieces to help them do it, that it would be a worthwhile tool to, you know, help people along if they're struggling in some part of their life.
Absolutely. And what I love about it is that you mentioned before that doctors or whoever will tell you that once you have this chronic Lyme, you have to live with it forever. And that kind of takes your hope away of ever really feeling good or healthy or being able to do things like running. But this book shows proof that that can be done. And how many people are looking for that? You know, how many people are looking for a good word about it, for the good news, not, you know, the bad news and the diagnosis. So I love that you've written it, and congratulations. Because it takes a lot to write a book, especially to put something about your own life. Very authentic and very scary. So that's wonderful. Very good.
Thank you. It's a little revealing, and it's sometimes mm-hmm. hard with, you know, sometimes I struggle with sharing my journey because I feel that I've been, you know, one of the lucky ones who has regained my health. And I waffle between, because a lot of people haven't, and a lot of people still really struggle. And the part I like about the disease the least is that a lot of people have people that don't believe them, that they're that sick. It's a weird yeah. disease that way, where, you know, it's very much hidden. And the benefit I had was that I did crazy things in my life before. So people knew that if this got me down, that I, you know, that wasn't the normal me. And right. so it's hard to put this out there, and it's sometimes hard to talk about it because I'm really proclaiming that I'm healthy again. And some of, you know, other people feel that that's a disservice to the illness. But more than that, if I don't say this, I am not sharing with them the message to not give up and keep trying.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk for a minute about how to get a hold of you and your book.
Okay, well, my book's on Amazon, and it's under 2-week window, and you can purchase it there. You can also get a connection to it from my website. My website is Out of the Woods, and that's Woods with a Z or Z, depending which country you're in, .ca, because I am in Canada. So Out of the Woods with a Z, .ca. And yeah, there's a lot of information on there and courses, and I do a lot of self-help and health videos that you can access from there as well.
Wonderful. And it's Out of the Woods, W-O-O-D-Z, as we would say here, .ca. And the link is right here on the blog talk. You can link from there. Also, we're doing this interview live, but a replay of it will be available right after. So if you know anybody, especially who is dealing with any kind of Lyme disease, please pass this on, pass this information on. The interview will be available indefinitely. Very good. So is there one last thing, Christy, that you'd like to say to a listener, something that's deep on your heart today?
Well, I think I kind of touched on it first, but I think the very first message I would want to give to people starting a healing journey of any kind is that you really have to make the decision to connect with yourself every day. And that's really, you know, I talk a lot about in a lot of things I do about our own natural instincts and really to start to listen to those, to hear what our intuition is telling us. We really have to just at least take a few minutes, check in with ourselves and see what is going on. Because if we can go there and start there, that's where we'll start to find the answers for what we need. And it's not selfish. We do need to ask ourselves, what do you need today? How can I support you? And I often say to people, pretend you are like a young version of you. And you is to take care of that young version of you. You know, what would you say daily to check in and see what they need? Because I think if we always start there, we know where to go to help ourselves a lot more. And I say all of this because I didn't do it. And that's right. Where, you know, things really got off the rails. I don't preach it because I did do it. Well, no, life really took a turn because I didn't do it. But I don't think there's any of us who shouldn't. Taking care of ourselves is not selfish. Self-love is not arrogance. You know, both of those need to be something we do. And really, that's where we're going to find the best version of ourselves. And when we do that, we can also then help others. And that's really where I come from when I do a lot of my work now, is I want people to experience that life where you know what you need to do for yourself. You know how to support yourself. And then you get to such a strong point that you can help others as well.
Yes, I love it. I love that connecting with yourself every day. And I was going to ask you, how do you do that? But you gave the perfect example. I never heard that before. Talk to yourself as if you were talking to a younger version and you're taking care of them. So, you know, things like, how are you feeling today? Why are you feeling that way, right? What did you do that maybe caused this for yourself today? That's really awesome. I never ever thought of that. That's a brilliant way to do it. Very nice. Because I know...
Awesome.
I think in general, most people are not very connected with their own bodies, you know, with what they're feeling. There's just too much going on. There's too much noise from everywhere and everything and people we take care of and people we love and children and everything else and jobs. So I think that's one of the best suggestions I've ever heard. Is there anything else?
Well, we're so inundated with information out there. Even when I teach, you know, nutrition courses or even when people are trying to figure out, you know, the fitness they might be interested in, if the first question isn't what we love, what we enjoy, then we're just starting from some place that belongs to someone else. You know, the one thing where, you know, our truest instincts are in the things we love. So when you're trying to find something to help you work on something or improve on something, start with where you love and go from there. So if you like walking, then make a commitment to, you know, walk more. And truthfully, a lot of people do love doing parts of these things. Eat the vegetables you love. Eat them till, you know, they're as if there's an endless supply. But all of this good stuff we do for ourselves, it doesn't have to be a challenge or a burden if we start with the things we love, loving ourselves and taking care of ourselves. It's actually comes pretty easy.
Awesome. I totally agree with you. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure having you. Thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Remember, a replay is available right after. Spread the news, spread the show, and make sure you listen in next time to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.